Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On Air with Russell of Hotels, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to On Air with Russell of Hotels, where we talk about everything hospitality, from hotels to influencers and everything in between. We will feature guest interviews with hospitality professionals who will share their experiences. Your host, Russell Edmond, has spent over 25 years in the hospitality industry, beginning his career with Marriott International in hotel operations, before moving into the sales arena and becoming a relationship building director of sales and marketing. Russell then went to the other side as a hospitality entrepreneur. He now consults in the hotel and meeting space, which includes being the CEO of Russell of Hotels Group. Did I mention he was a veggie foodie? Yes, Russell is always looking for good non-meat eats. Please welcome your host, Russell Edmond.
Hello, and thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. Had a little glitch going on. Somebody's walking around. They know I do the show at 1 o'clock. I mean, come on now. What's going on? But thank you so much for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. You know, no matter what's going on around you, in your office, in your wherever you are, you just got to go with the roll with the punches, right? The show must go on, right? Anyway, hope all is well. Happy Tuesday to you. And today, yes, it is. It's Taco Tuesday. And, you know, I think I'm doing some mushroom tacos today. You know, I got some, just some regular run-of-the-mill button mushrooms I'll slice up and then saute with some onions and peppers, throw some seasoning, like some taco seasoning and things like that on there, some olive oil in there to keep it interesting, and then we serve it up, right? You cook your taco shells, you put the mushrooms, and you can put lettuce, or I kind of chop up fresh spinach. That's how I do mine. I don't eat a lot of lettuce. I eat a lot of spinach. Like, if I'm going to do a salad, it's going to be like a spinach salad. I don't like regular. I mean, although I'll eat romaine, but I don't like iceberg lettuce. I think it has no nutritional value. So that's why I don't use it. I don't know. But I'm having issues with my Facebook Live right now. I don't know if I'm on or not. But anyway, you get to see me or hear me. You get to see me later. But, you know, this is a live show, right? So I can't say, Ronan, stop. Let's redo it. No. We got to keep rolling. So hopefully it fixes itself. But if not, that's okay. You'll get to see me at some point. So anyway, thank you so much. Once again, I keep saying, you know, thank you for joining. But I do appreciate that you do join me. We're Hospitality Unplugged, hashtag Hospitality Unplugged. We're all about connecting people and collaboration. Guess what today is? And before I get to what number show it is, hashtag Hospitality Unplugged means, you know, we talk about everything within the hospitality space. You know, maybe good, maybe bad, but we'll bring it to you. But we, you know, one thing we don't try to do is just because you can say it doesn't mean you should say it. We're not trying to, you know, put people on a negative, in a negative light and things like that. But, if there's something I don't like, something happened that I don't like, I'm definitely going to talk about it. But, we don't air people's dirty laundry. We're not trying to dog people out or anything like that. That's not what Russell of Hotels is about. Russell Hotels didn't become Russell of Hotels by, you know, dogging people out and putting people on blast in a negative way. We put people on blast, don't get me wrong, but not in a negative way. It's in a fun way, and we get people on the show, then we put them on blast, meaning we blow them up. We want them to be recognized and talk about, you know, how they got here and, you know, their experiences and all that kind of stuff. So that's my way of saying, okay, you're on blast. It's not a bad thing. Show number 67. Man, we're almost at 70, right? We're almost there. So that's going to be another milestone. Now I got to take a break after that. Once I get to that, I got to take a break. I got to go on hiatus, you know, wait for the second, the third season, actually. I last year, I remember taking some time off. I went to Alaska and, you know, took time off from the show. So I'm not going to Alaska this year and probably won't be going anywhere, but, you know, just take some time off from the show, just a couple of weeks just to kind of, you know, rejuvenate and come up with new ideas or whatever. Anyway, I'm just talking crazy now. I'm just rambling. Industry news. You know what? Before I get into industry news, I want to give a quick, and I have a shout out section, but this just was on the top of my mind. As soon as I was looking at Facebook and, you know, people post things. I'm going to give a shout out to an old friend of mine. His name is, I call him D. Rao. His name is David Rowden, right? He was, we kind of grew up together and back in Blythe. We played football together. We went to college together. My second year in college, his first year, we were roommates, right? So at Golden West College, he great football player. But anyway, he's a stunt. He was a stunt man. Now he's a stunt coordinator. And his show, The Rookie, just got nominated for, I think, is it an Emmy? Yeah, nominated for an Emmy Award. His daughter actually just posted it. And I saw that. And I'm like, you know what? D. Rao is one of, you know, one of my favorite people. And we still talk every now and then. We at least we text and give each other crap, right? Give each other the business. So I just want to give him a quick shout out. Congratulations on your show. He's a stunt coordinator for The Rookie. D. Rao, David Rowden. David Scott Rowden, that's his official, you know, name. They got to have an official name and everything. But D-Rao, congratulations on your nomination. And I know you do what you do. So anyway, that's enough of that. So I'll talk to you soon, hopefully. But anyway, industry news. People are traveling to see America or points of interest within their own state. Okay, so this whole, well, we can't travel outside the country, right? So we might as well see America as much as we can, right? So get in your car and drive. Now, weeks ago when this whole thing started, I always say the first market that's going to be coming back was what? What market was that? That's the drive market, right? So nothing has changed. So people are doing, you know, they're going to wide open spaces. They're doing Yosemite. They're doing Sequoia. They're doing Big Bear. They're doing the High Desert. They're doing Palm Springs. They even going to Blythe. They're going to Blythe to go somewhere else, right? You know, Blythe is one of those places. It's not a place, and this was an old tagline for another town. It was a place they said it was the place. It used to be the place that you drive through. Now it's the place that you come to. No, well, Blythe is a place that you drive through to get to somewhere else. Anyway, that was a joke. That was a little Blythe joke, a little Blythe humor for my mom, because I know she's listening and I know she's going to have something to say about me. But anyway, so people are driving, drive market, let's say LA, and this is for people that don't listen to me all the time because I mentioned this quite a bit, that the first markets that come back within the hotel, travel, tourism industry are the drive markets, meaning, you know, those are people we need to be advertising or promoting to, you know, the people within, you know, within an hour, 2 hours away. Like Santa Barbara needs to be, you know, advertising to me or advertise to people in, you know, in Southern California to get them to come to Santa Barbara. So same was with like San Diego or like Yosemite, the places I just mentioned, Yosemite, Sequoia, Big Bear, the High Desert. Palm Springs, even Blythe, you know, I threw that out there. Blythe is, you know, that's 3 hours away. I don't know if you want to go that far, but anyway, Blythe is 3 hours away. So all those little areas, you know, wide open spaces where you can get in a car, pack everyone up, you're not having to fly anywhere. So you're saving money in that respect. So that's what's going on now. And I got this stat from somewhere that, first of all, driving is less expensive than flying, of course. And 68% of the people that were at least surveyed during this survey that I found, they don't want to fly, right? Because they don't want to get involved with the whole COVID thing. And, you know, because people aren't adhering to the regulations, or I'm just going to say regulations, you know, because some places say, you know, you can't come in without a mask. So you can't enter without putting on a mask. I mean, which is, I think, is one of the easiest things to do, but of course, there's always some people that don't want to do it, but, and that's the reason why people are staying home or staying close to home. I had a friend that actually drove cross country, rented a, or no, she bought a trailer for her and her family, and they went from LA to, I want to say Pennsylvania. And, you know, they just had a great time stopping at places. Now, I've done that before, not with a camper, darn sure not with a camper, but we've driven from California, like to Mississippi, Arkansas, whatever, in those southern states. I mean, it was great. We had a great time. So, you know, I encourage people to do that if that's what you're into, if that's what you want to do. So that's what people are doing. So, hey, did anyone see that Inside Edition? Inside Edition is like a news show. I don't even know when it comes on, but I happened to see this posting on Facebook. It was about a week, 2 weeks ago. So I looked at it in depth and see what was really going on, right? But anyway, it was Inside Edition. It's an expose on hotel cleanliness. You know how we're, you know, during this whole COVID thing, hotels are saying that, oh, we're doing the, taking these extra steps, extra measures, things like that. And most hotels are. I'm sure probably 90% of hotels are doing the extra steps. But even with your best efforts, you know, sometimes you come up a little short. Okay. So in this particular video or news, you know, expose that Inside Edition did, they looked at the Hyatt. These are three hotels in New York City. It was a Hyatt Place, I believe. There's a Hampton Inn, and of all places, the Trump Towers in New York City, right? So what they did was they walked in, got a room, so they checked in a room, you know, unbeknownst to the hotel staff who these people were. They're part of this Inside Edition. Well, anyway, they go to the room. They spray paint this harmless spray that, of course, shows up under UV lights, right? And it has the logo, the Inside Edition logo on it. So they spray paint this thing with a stencil, right? And it says Inside Edition, right? And you can only see it with UV light. So if you, you know, walk in, you would never even see it. You would never even see that the thing was dirty. The sheet, they did it on the duvet cover. They did it on the a sheet. And they did it on, I can't even think. What is the thing called? Pillowcase, man. And they put a handprint on a table, right? So they sprayed it and put the handprint on a table. But like I said, you can only see this under a UV light. So what happened was, okay, so the guests came in, did that. They made the room look like it had been slept in. So they, you know, messed up the bed or whatever. And then they left. Came back, meaning, okay, they checked out, but then they say, hey, I was just here. I need to stay another night. Can I have the same room? Okay, so they went back to the same room to see if that room had been cleaned. Well, they got back, and guess what? The first place, the Hyatt, was not changed at all. None of the sheets, the pillowcase, the towels, and the handprint were all still. Well, the towels, I think, had been removed. The towel had been removed. But the handprint, and they also put it on the TV remote. That was still there. They put some kind of residue on it, something that cleans off, you know, real easy, simple with a rag. But nothing was done. So of course they called, you know, the front desk or whatever. Manager came and, oh, that never should have happened. Whatever, you know, that kind of thing. So they went to the Hampton Inn, did the same thing. They got pretty much the same results. They went to the Trump Towers. The only thing they had done, I think one of the towels had been changed, but nothing else. Everything else, and I think the duvet cover had been changed, or been washed, but the sheet and the pillowcase were still the same. They still had the logo on it. So I'm like, what the heck? Are we not paying attention to these things? I mean, it's an expose. I don't know Inside Edition. I don't know how reputable it is, but they do a lot of these exposés, right? So there has to be something going on here, right? I mean, are we paying attention? And if not, this, and you saw this expose and you're a hotel person and you're working in a hotel, I would think you want to go back and take a look and see. Now, do we invest in UV lights, you know, the rays, the UV, the light, so it would detect certain things like that? I can't remember my last hotel we had one, no. But maybe this is the time we need to start investing in these things and see if there's some harmful things that we're just not paying attention to. I don't know if we're doing that. Should we be doing it? Should we be taking our staff's word for that? Yeah, we're cleaning that room. Yeah, it passed inspection. Yeah, we're doing this. We're doing that. Because there's always going to be now, there's somebody walking around with, you know, just Joe consumer, Joe guest, walking around with one of these UV lights, wants to see exactly what's there. So do I want to be surprised as a general manager? Hey, this person has a UV light and he said his room is nasty. You know, so, I mean, those are things that can happen. But it was interesting to see that. But the most interesting thing was, I mean, that's you know, not taking care of a room. I mean, that's interesting. But the most interesting thing was they showed maybe four employees, right? Two of them didn't have masks on. That's another thing. They come into your door, knock on the door, because the inside edition people, like the cameraman, the host or whatever he is, the producer, whatever the heck he was, he had a mask on. Okay, so when he opens the door for the manager to come, the manager or the person, the employee, the associate that opens it, that comes to the door, does not have a mask on. Okay, two people didn't have masks on. And these are two different hotels. So those are things that kind of got me going. I thought, well, if the protocol is to make sure your guests are wearing masks when they come in, why wouldn't the protocol be the same for the associates? When you're coming in guest contact, why are you not wearing a mask? See, those are things you have to, first of all, those are things I wonder about. Well, why didn't he have a mask on? And then second, if I'm going to a hotel, do I need to be calling to say, hey, what is your protocol? I mean, I said all of that to come to this. What is the protocol? So when you're going to a hotel, you want to make sure the place is being as clean and you don't leave with something you didn't come with. Okay, and I've been saying that for a while. So make sure that the hotel is adhering to those particular protocols, or find out what is your protocol. Send me a list. What are you doing to keep us safe? That's what I'll be doing. Show me a picture. Send me a video. What you're doing. You can do that if you wanted to. I mean, I don't know if I would do that, but I'm going to at least do my research before I do that. Okay, so there you go. So what is the protocol? And then you know what? And I almost forgot about this, and I just had to check my notes here. Most hotels, because no hotels that I know of are running 100%, right? So if someone checks out of a room, a lot of hotels, I know Hilton's doing this, and probably Marriott's doing the same thing. Well, I guess not in this case, because one of these properties was a Hampton, which is part of the Hilton flag, right? They are the rooms, if you're not sold out, you don't need that room. Why would you resell that room to the same person, first of all, or to anyone? You should keep that room. And I thought the protocol was to keep those rooms out of service for 24, 48 hours or something, at least one day, right? So why would you back to back, regardless if that person was in that room or not? You know, our protocol is to, we have to take that room out of inventory for safety and security purposes. Sounds good to me. Or cleanliness, sanitation, whatever word you want to throw in there, throw that in there. Because that doesn't make sense for us to re-rent that same room after someone had just checked out, regardless if it was the same person. And I don't know how many hours had passed that had lapsed before that person came back. But still, I don't think you should be, like I said, and correct me, people, if I'm wrong, but I know several hotels that, because I spoke to the general managers, that they don't re-rent those rooms, or they don't rent rooms. Yeah, they don't re-rent rooms within the same 24-hour period. They'll wait, 2 days. That room sits for 2 days. They clean it, and it sits, and then they rent it maybe on the third day or something like that. Because if you're running 20, 30%, you don't need all your rooms anyway, right? And guess what? You're not cleaning your rooms every day anyway. So there you go. So a lot of stuff didn't make sense. Didn't make sense for, I mean, like I said, I'm not real familiar with Inside Edition, but it is on TV. But that doesn't mean everything is real because it's on TV. But I know they've done exposés like this before, but just something to think about. And I'm going to post that video on my Facebook page later today, along with this video, of course, of On Air with Russell of Hotels. There you go. All right. I did mention my non-meat eats mushroom tacos, right? So every week I'm going to let you know what kind of mushroom tacos I'm going to make, as well as anything interesting that I had over the weekend or between my last show and today, but I don't think I had anything interesting to eat. No, the mushroom tacos. I made a peach cobbler the other day, a vegan peach cobbler or plant-based, use plant-based butter. I don't use, you know, anything else. I made my own dough. This is the second time I did that. So I use a plant-based butter, right? Chop it up or cube it and flour and cold water. And you mix it together. You let it sit in your refrigerator for a couple hours. You can roll it out with a rolling pin, slice it up. There's your dough. Just as easy as that. I didn't know it was that easy because I've been buying my, you know, my dough for years. But now I don't have to buy it anymore. I always have flour and salt, flour, salt, and butter, and cold water. That's all you need. And I put cinnamon in mine too, just for a little bit more flavor. But that's it. So made a peach cobbler. Was good. Well, it wasn't, you know what? I'm sorry. It wasn't a peach cobbler. It was an apple cobbler. But I threw some mangoes and something else in there. Anything that I had, it was kind of like a kitchen, the kitchen sink cobbler. Anything I had, or the refrigerator cobbler. Anything I had that was, you know, it wasn't a lot. I just poured it in there and made it happen with some brown sugar. Like I said, the plant-based butter. We're good to go. Are you reinventing yourself? Are you swerving? Swerving is the word that I'm using. I replaced pivoting because everybody's using the P word, right? Well, I said, you know, I'm going to change my P word to the S word. So I'm going with swerving. Are you swerving? Okay. Are you reinventing yourself? Are you swerving to do something else because of this whole COVID thing, right? So swerving is the word I use. The best way to predict the future is to invent it. So sometimes, you know, we're waiting for our jobs to come back. Maybe we need to reinvent our, like I said, best way is to predict the future is to invent it. Maybe we need to invent something else to do. Maybe so. I don't know. Only you will know that, but it's something to think about. Contact information. How do you get a hold of Russell at Russell of Hotels? Contact information. That was my email. I just gave it to you. Russell at russellofhotels.com is my email address. I'm on Twitter at Russell of Hotels, IG Russell of Hotels. And I'm on LinkedIn, Russell L. Edmond, Facebook. I have two pages, Russell L. Edmond and Russell of Hotels. Yeah, I said that right? Website is russellofhotels.com. You get the theme here, right? It's a common theme, Russell of Hotels. It's called branding, right? You want to make sure your brand is everywhere. You know, you don't want to over-brand, but, you know, Facebook and, you know, LinkedIn, your website, everything needs to tie together, right? So I want to make sure that it tied together. And that's why I came up with the name I came up with, Russell of Hotels. That's the name of the company. The show, of course, is called On Air with Russell of Hotels. I'm the Russell of Hotels. My show is a live show. So like I said, I've been talking for 23 minutes. This is all live on Tuesday at, what time is it? 1:23 p.m. So once the show is over, it becomes a podcast, right? So most people do podcasts, which is a pre-recorded show. No, no, mine is a live show that becomes a podcast. A little twist on there, right? So it's, and it's available on every podcast platform that you listen to. So it's out there. So Apple or iTunes, Google Play, Apple, whatever, Spotify, whatever you listen to, your favorite podcast, we're on there or I'm on there. Sponsorship opportunities, just my contact information is there if you're interested in sponsorship. It's like you see, you know, I'm sorry, On Air with Russell Hotels. I mean, you can easily have your logo right there, or like you see the logo down here, your logo can easily be there. So there you go. And we reached quite a few people in the thousands. Okay. So just so you know, some of the feeder cities would be feeder cities are, you know, where people listen to the show. LA, of course, Orange County, Chicago, San Francisco, New York, Atlanta. We even get as far as Jamaica, the Philippines, Barbados, the UK, Australia, New Zealand. Did I say the UK already? Yeah. Did I say Philippines? The Philippines. I got quite a few people in the PI that listen or watch. So I do appreciate that. So shout out to the people in the Philippines for watching On Air with Russell of Hotels or listening to it on the podcast. What is the Russell of Hotels group? We do digital marketing via social media, help build your presence with videos, postings, etc. Check out my Instagram feed or Facebook or whatever. You see all the videos that I put out, some hotel stuff. It's either with me, either I'm, you know, food related, and all the food, most of the food that I show, probably 99% of the food I show is plant-based. Okay, that meaning that's what I'm a plant-based eater. I don't call myself a vegan because vegan means that you have you've changed your whole lifestyle and animals and things like that. And I don't, you know, I wear leather. I still have a leather belt and my shoes can have leather. So I haven't made it that far yet. And I respect the people that have, but then that's why I call myself plant-based. I do have, you know, follow some vegan eating habits, but I'm mostly, let's just say I'm 100% plant-based. That's me, Russell of Hotels. That's what I do. So that's one thing I do, radio show host. There you go. Most of the time I interview today's hospitality professionals. And today, and yesterday, last week, and the week before, I just want to hear myself speak. There you go. Collaborating and connecting of people. That's the main focus. Connecting people, getting people together, offering advice, whatever. In fact, speaking of offering advice or just getting involved with people, I did this last week too, but I got asked to come back and do it again. So there's this organization called Diamonds in the Raw. It's what's her name? LaFay Baker is the CEO or the founder of this, a nonprofit organization. And they help African-American girls, you know, they keep them focused. They keep them, you know, they educate them. It's like a summer program. And they teach them things, life skills for the most part. Well, LaFay Baker's background is she's a stunt woman. So, you know, she's involved in the entertainment industry and all that kind of stuff. So, and all that stuff that comes with it. Well, they're working on doing their own podcast. So, of course, I've done a podcast. I've up to 67 shows. Not that, you know, that's some big number, but the average podcast only goes 6 shows. So this is, yeah, okay. Times that by, you know, 10, and then maybe we'd be in the same conversation, right? So she asked me to come on the show and talk to the young ladies. And, you know, they had, last week I did it. They didn't have any questions. They're like, you know, quiet. They didn't really say anything. But this week they're more energetic. They're asking questions. I talked for about 30 minutes, 30, 45 minutes. So it was good. It was good because, you know, they have assignments that they do and they keep them on task. You know, when you're going to record, and you got to record because they want to critique it, right? Well, some people, you know, kind of hesitant, they're shy and things like that. And I say, you know what, we all are shy with some things, right? But you have to do it. I mean, don't be afraid. They're here to help. They're not here to ridicule. And there's no right or wrong to do a podcast. I would say there's no right or wrong. It's just that you learn from your mistakes or learn from things that you're doing and learn how to do them better. Right? We strive for perfection, but is it ever going to be perfect? Heck no. No, 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 no. But if you think that way, you're never going to do it. And that's what I told these young ladies. I think it's about seven or eight young ladies that are on the Zoom call earlier today. So that was a quick not on blast, but a shout out to LaFay Baker. So thank you very much. I mean, they're thanking me for coming. And no, I'm thanking them for giving me the opportunity, because if you have information, you might as well share it, right? If you experience certain things, you might as well share it, right? And that's what I'm about. That's all about collaboration and connecting with people. We connected, LaFay and I. Now I'm connecting with these young ladies and we're collaborating. We're just sharing information, or I'm sharing information with them, and they're listening, they're asking questions. And that's what it's all about. Boom. How is your brand staying relevant? These are 4 questions that I always ask every single show. How's your brand staying relevant? That's the first one. Okay. What are you doing? Okay. You know what you're doing or not doing. And if you're not doing doing something, you need to start doing something. Number 2, knowing what you know now, is there anything that you are doing differently? So if you were doing something before this whole COVID thing happened, what are you doing now that's different, right? Because we, like I said, are we reinventing ourselves? Are we swerving, or what are we doing? Number 3, have you connected with anyone new? Are we collaborating or connecting? Are we connecting? We can still connect with people, right? We have Zoom. That's what I'm connecting with you guys on Zoom. I do a lot of meetings on Zoom. I mean, what are we doing? So don't say, well, no one's meeting now. No, people are meeting. You just not meeting. So educate yourself on how to do Zoom. I have this neighbor. He's head of our neighborhood, like the neighborhood program, neighborhood watch, or he's our block captain or whatever the heck you want to call it. And the other day he was saying, oh, I'm going to do a Zoom call, but he doesn't know how to use Zoom. I'm like, well, how are you going to do a Zoom call then if you don't? Well, I need to figure it out. Well, he didn't ask, like, well, you know, maybe I should have volunteered. But then again, no, I used to be the block captain at one time. And, you know, you just, the things you do, you just do it, right? You don't have to wait, get somebody to you know, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Just do it. Put stuff out and just do it. However you need to do it. If it's a conference call, if it's a Zoom call, you can figure that stuff out, right? So just do it. But anyway, so he needs to learn Zoom. I said that to say this. You know, during this time when you have a lot of downtime, we need to learn new things. We need to have new skills. That way you can pivot or swerve. That's the word I use, the swerve. Okay, I like that word better than pivot. What has the situation taught you? What's it taught you? Don't put all your eggs in one basket. That's what it's taught me. Thank you to, I just said LaFay Baker. So I already thanked you. Thank you again, LaFay Baker, for let me be on your podcast. I mean, not in your podcast, but on the Zoom call earlier with your girls. Shout out to Michelle Carlin. I made a mistake last week. I pronounced her company name, but I wrote it down today, Alignment Advising. So if you need assistance with resume writing, she's big on resume writing, right? So make sure you contact Michelle Carlin, alignmentadvising.com. Okay, did I say that right, Michelle? And Michelle was good last week. She listens to the show, and I appreciate that. And she texts me right away, you know, like, what are you talking about? That's not the name of my company. She, like, tore my head off, right? I'm joking, Michelle. No, you didn't. I'm just joking. Hey, congrats again. I mean, this guy is just blowing up, okay? And all because he was on the show, right? So, you know, you got to give credit where credit is due, right? Congrats again to Stefan Freeman, founder and CEO of Venice Beach Beverage Company. You know, they do the iced teas. He was on the show, I don't know, a month ago, something like that. And we talked about him starting his beverage company. It's called Venice Beach. He gave me the whole history, how it started, blah, blah, blah. He got this recipe, whatever. Anyway, when he was on the show, he was in a mere 44 stores, I believe. He just told me yesterday he's in 105 stores now. So in 10 weeks, his company's been going for 10 weeks. In 10 weeks, he's grown from zero stores to 105. I mean, I think that's phenomenal. So congratulations again, Stefan Freeman. And he, you know, to celebrate, he went and played golf at Pebble Beach over the weekend. I'm like, it sucks to be you, huh? Right. Okay, Mr. CEO. But no, congratulations. I told him he deserved that. So congratulations to Stefan Freeman, founder, CEO, Venice Beach Beverage Company. Go check it out. I don't know. Go to their website and they'll tell you where the stores are that carry those his beverages. And also you can order them through Amazon I'm pretty sure through Amazon now. You can have them delivered to your house. You don't even have to go to the store. Just have them delivered. Right. But anyway, he's working. He actually is the one making the deliveries to the stores, at least the local stores in L.A. So very good. So congrats again. Proud of you. Introduction of today's topic. The topic is not going to be it's not going to be long. I mean, meaning I'm not going to talk long. Well, it's 1:34. OK, so, man, I can talk. Boy, someone told me, oh, I was talking to these girls about doing their podcast, you know, giving them advice or answering the questions they would ask me. And they said, well, what happens if you don't have a guest on your show? I'm like, oh, I don't need somebody on here for me to talk. I said, I could talk for an hour straight and not, you know, I'm not even finished my first win yet. Right. So I'm ready to go. I think I'll hit my second win probably about 2:00 and then the show will be over at that time. So I'm gaining steam right now. I'm going up the hill and it's not even, you know, there's no big deal. It's not stopping me. I'm just going up the hill. No big deal. So up the hill, no big deal. Did you hear that? It's a rhyme. I didn't even try to do that. Anyway, my introduction of today's topic is mentors. you know, I thought about this. Sometimes I come and I don't have a topic, you know, up until 3 hours before the show. And I was listening to something earlier today and it had to do with mentors. And I was like, well, huh, there's people that have been in, you know, influential in my life and getting to where I got in the hotel industry, because you don't do it alone, right? There's always got to be someone there to, you know, be a cheerleader, be in your corner, give you opportunities when no one else would, you know? So, you know, I have to thank those people, because if it wasn't for some of these people, who knows, I may have given up on industry and said, you know what? This place is for the birds. I'm out of here. I could have easily have done that, but because of, and it all started in college for me. And remember, everyone has different experiences. So everyone came up differently, and not one way is better than the other. Because I also heard in this, when I came up with the topic for today, mentorship or mentoring, one of the other topics they talked about was, you know, hospitality professionals who went to college and some that didn't. I'm like, it doesn't even matter, okay? Because a lot of people that went that didn't go, those people are CEOs and VPs and this and that. So they didn't miss out on anything that just because you did go to college. I mean, to me, the college experience was something that I would not have wanted to miss out on. And college just basically teaches you that you can learn, right? So if you went 4 years and got that piece of paper, your employer, they know, well, he can learn, you know. That meaning, it doesn't mean that you're going to learn more than that person that didn't go, because maybe they're hungrier. You know, I don't know. But, you know, but I, if I hired people that didn't have college degrees, hell yeah, I didn't even really look at it. I look at their experience. At that point, you're looking at their experience and you're like, okay, well, they've already accomplished this. So, okay, let's bring them on. Or if they're new, maybe it's an entry-level position. And it's all about personality and attitude. I mean, do they have that go-getter attitude or mentality? Or they are just like passing, like, oh, well, you know, I want you to hire me. But no, if they're aggressive, then heck yeah, you hired them. Didn't matter where they came from, what college they went to. I don't care if someone went to Cornell or UNLV or Cal Poly Pomona. That's where I went. But it didn't matter, right? It just mattered that they were able to do the job. They showed well, or they presented well within their interview. And that's where you went for, right? That's where I went for. So anyway, so I don't think that really matters. You know, I never penalize someone because, well, you didn't go to college. Well, then, blah, blah. But I see a lot of ads in the paper. Not ads in the paper. Where am I back in 1980? Ads in the paper, jobs in like H Careers. I don't even know where that came from, like H Careers or Indeed. You know, a lot of the positions ask for, you know, several years of college or whatever. Well, they do that for weeding out process, right? Because they're getting tons and tons of resumes. So who wants to go through tons and tons of resumes? Well, I need something to weed out some of these people. Well, guess what weeding out? Do you have a college degree? Well, that eliminates some people, right? So that's, I think that's where that comes in. But, and that's why you have to have like a mentor or someone that can vouch for you, someone that, you know, you're on LinkedIn and you got a profile. And so people can see that. I mean, those things matter, right? Especially if you're trying to break into another industry and you don't know someone, you need someone that's going to guide you. And it's funny how I just tied that into mentorship. People are like, how's he going to bring this thing? What is he talking about? I just brought that into mentorship. Okay, that's what it comes down to. So today's topic is talking about mentors. So what's a mentor? An experienced and trusted advisor. Okay, that's, I like that, right? I wish I can say, well, he's an experienced and trusted advisor. One who will share with a mentee or protege information about his or her own career path, as well as provide guidance, motivation, emotional support, role modeling. A mentor may help with exploring careers, setting goals, developing contacts, which you need, and identifying resources. Like, okay, so someone's looking for a job in the hospitality field. Go to hcareers.com, hcareers.com. Go to indeed.com. Make sure you type in hotel, like I want to be a salesperson, sales manager, so sales associate. Type in whatever city you're in, Los Angeles, and I want to be sales associate. Boom, comes up which hotels or things in hospitality or whatever. Who's looking for what, right? So maybe I want to be a food and beverage director, or I want to be a server. Do the same thing. Go to Indeed. Go to H Careers and find those things. So I'm letting you know where to go. So those are resources. So, and I mentioned this last week. H Careers, Indeed, hcareers.com, indeed.com. And if you're interested in like the CVB, Convention and Visitors Bureau, tourism, things like that, if you're interested in that platform or that area of hospitality, what is it? Searchwide.com. Searchwide.com, just in case you didn't know that. So those are resources, right? So you need somebody to tell you these things, somebody to push it. So like I said, someone told me, I didn't just wake up and say, oh, I know to go to Searchwide or H Careers. No, you know, you learn, you hear, you things like that. There's three C's of mentorship: consultant, you're a counselor, you're a cheerleader. Okay. Those are three things, the three C's of mentorship. And I'm going to name a couple mentors that helped me out, that guided me in the way. And some of them guided me on purpose. Some didn't even know that they guided me, but they did. My professor, and I mentioned him a couple of weeks ago, Glenn Voss, right? He was one of the few CVB. Thank you, Ms. Cheryl Rogers, for throwing that out there. CVB, I did get it right, okay? Tourism Board, CVB, DMO, all mean the same things, all interchangeable. But Dr. Professor Glenn Voss, he's now the chair of, I want to say, Texas A&M's marketing department. Well, back in the day when I was at Cal Poly, he was a professor there. He was one of the few that taught marketing, hotel marketing, specifically hotel marketing. And he was one of the few that had hotel classes that he was teaching. That's where I gravitated. I mean, I didn't, you know, Cal Poly for the most part is a food and beverage program, meaning everything is heavily food and beverage. So if you want to go to work in a restaurant or own your own restaurant, Cal Poly Pomona would probably be the place to go because they're heavily into that. But I wasn't heavy into that, right? I wasn't a foodie like I am now. I knew just enough to be dangerous, right? But I know I didn't want to do that. I know that I wanted to gravitate towards the hotel side. And Mr. Glenn Voss, he had those classes. So any class that he was teaching, I was going to be in because he was excited. He was energetic. He had ideas that some of these other professors didn't have. He was worlds away from these other people. I mean, he was doing sushi and raw bars back in the day, right? And some of these people were like, what, sushi and raw? No one's going to do that. We did a whole food and beverage plan. Check this out. Now, I'm getting away from what I was going to do, but it just shows you what a mentor Glenn Voss was, to me at least. We did this, one of our classes, I want to say it was a senior level class, meaning one of the last classes you take before you get out. And we did this whole food and beverage plan. This is the only time I wanted to do a food and beverage plan for someone. We did it for the Sheraton Gateway. But back then it was called the Sheraton Plaza Lorena, which is LAX, the Sheraton LAX, right there on Century Boulevard, right? So we did this whole total food and beverage plan. I can't remember what, they had this club called Zeno's. It was a disco. They had pillows and stuff in the corner and all this kind of stuff. It was straight 80s, right? It was disco. It was all that. And this was after the disco, right? So they were trying to figure out what are they going to do with this space? Because it was basically just wasted space because the disco had closed. And we went in and did this whole total as students, total food and beverage plan where we put a sushi bar in there. And up until maybe 10 years ago, that sushi bar was still there. Okay. The same one that we had designed. See, a lot of people don't even know that. I tell people this that work there. They're like, they look at me like I'm crazy. And I say, yeah, that place used to be Zeno's. Zeno's? What are you talking about? Dude, I was there. Okay. So I remember this like it was yesterday. But Glenn Voss had the wherewithal and the vision to come up with that. Like I said, they had that thing probably 15. It's probably a sushi bar 15 or so years, maybe 15, maybe even 20 years. I can't remember, but this was back in the late 80s that we did this. But it was phenomenal, just the ideas that he would come up. And, of course, you know, he would give those ideas to to us because we had to present it. We had to put everything together. We had to make it work. We did a presentation in front of all their staff at the Sheraton, the GM, the HR director, who I remember because he offered me a job at the Sheraton in New Orleans because of the way I did the presentation. It was great. And I, like I said, I was in the hotels. That's what I was in. That's what I was. I knew I was going that path, right? But of course, I had to do the food and beverage thing as well. So we did. It was kind of a half sales, half food and beverage, but it was all presentation. And that was my flair for doing presentations about different products. And it was the one of the, by far, it was probably the best experience I had in college in a class was with Glenn Voss. And that was just one class. That was the last one I ever took with him. And then he left after that and went his way, went to Texas. And I think he was at UT. I know he's at Texas A&M now. I think he was at SMU as well. So, I mean, this guy is done a lot of stuff. And he was, like I said, he was a main mentor for me because he basically challenged me without even knowing he challenged me. He basically told me, because when I got offered the job, because he was one of the reasons why I got offered the job at the Sheraton in New Orleans. He basically told me, he said, because I said, well, I got this job with Marriott. I already had an offer with Marriott, right? To go into the ID program. But you had to start, and it was all operations. It was housekeeping, front office, and restaurant. He said, don't go in operations. You'll die. And I may have told this story already. He said, you'll die in operations. You're a sales guy. You're going to die in operations. And I took that as a challenge. Later on, when I got in contact with him again, I brought that up. I said, do you remember that you told me I would die in operations? He said, Russell, that's not what I meant. He said, you're good at sales. Yeah, but, you know, I didn't mean you would die, meaning you would be a failure at it. I just meant that, you know, if you walked right into sales, you would be successful. But, and I told him, I said, well, the reason why I did the operations 6 years in operations first is because I wanted to know the entire hotel, how each department worked with each department. He said, hey, did it work for you? I said, yeah. He said, well, then that's all that matters. It doesn't even matter. So, so like I said, he was a great mentor for me. Another one, Joe Carrillo. He's now a vice president with Marriott. So he was one of my GMs early on with Courtyard Division when I first started. And I mean, he got me out of some issues and things, not issues, but, you know, not getting along with these young GMs who thought they knew everything. And, you know, he taught me the right way, you know, how to play the politics. That's definitely what he did. He kind of took me under his wing and kind of helped me out. So I appreciate Joe Carrillo. I call him every now and then and we chop it up and just talk about things. And he always gives me advice, even to this day. Like I said, this is back in the 80s when I first met these people. So Joe Carrillo, you know, appreciate him. Ron Berger. Ron Berger was my GM at the Sheraton in Rancho Cordova, which is outside of Sacramento, which is now a Marriott hotel. He's not there anymore. But anyway, he gave me a chance, meaning he brought me, okay, Sacramento is real cliquish, right? Back in the day, it's probably still real cliquish, but back in the day, it was real cliquish. So anyone from outside, now I'm from LA, right? We moved there and I couldn't find a hotel job to save my life because when I tried to transfer with Marriott back then, they only had a few Marriott properties. So in Sacramento, of course, it's a lot smaller than LA, and people don't move around. Like Southern California, there's probably 50 courtyards in a 50-mile radius, so you can find another courtyard to go to, right? You can transfer somewhere. But when you're leaving the city, LA, to go to a small town like small city like Sacramento, it was hard to find another job. So I actually went out of the industry for a couple of years before I finally found a job, and someone in Sacramento finally gave me an opportunity, and that person was Ron Berger. So I do appreciate Mr. Ron Berger for giving me that opportunity. And not only he gave me an opportunity as a night manager. I started off as a night manager. Then he started giving me, he saw I can handle the responsibility. So he started giving me more responsibility. And I remember one night, on Friday, Saturday nights, there's always going to be some fights going on because they had a club there. It's called the Big Chill. Okay, so every Friday, Saturday night, there was either a class reunion. 10-year reunions are the worst. Okay, they always want to fight. They always think they're still in high school. They always want to get with someone they wish they could have got with 10 years earlier. and they're married, and then, you know, there's always a fight that ensues. That's it, right? So anyway, he was there for some reason, for some event, and someone got in his face, right? So I, you know, no. So I got in their face, okay? So I had his back. So bottom line, I had his back, not just during that altercation, but my persona, meaning when I start working at a hotel, and if I'm working for the GM, my job is to emulate what that GM would do in his absence or her absence. So that was my thing. So I would see his style and I would emulate his style because I wanted him to see that, you know, some of the same things that he would do that I would do. So you got to build trust somewhere, right? So, I mean, as you get comfortable, you create your own style or you start moving towards your own style. And that's what I did. And he loved it. He liked it. And he started giving me more responsibility. And next thing I know, he makes me his AGM, right? So he's giving me more responsibility. And I learned more at that hotel than I've learned anywhere because he gave me, you know, an opportunity to be exposed to a lot of the food and beverage stuff, the security stuff, the engineering, the sales, the catering, the marketing. I learned a lot of stuff because of Ron Berger, because he allowed me to do it. It was my first full service hotel. So I was able to go anywhere within that hotel and learn whatever I wanted. It was carte blanche. I learned about wine. I learned about, it was crazy. So I appreciate Ron Berger. Last one is Danielle Fevre. Danielle Fevre, now he was a GM at the Courtyard Marina Del Rey. Now, one thing he taught me is that you can't judge a book by its cover, because bottom line, he told me to hire someone, right? So say he told me to hire somebody and I didn't want to hire that person, right? And he said, and I kept bringing him other candidates. I said, well, I've already interviewed this person. He said, and he finally had to put his foot down, right? Because I kept bringing him, you know, candidates, but he wasn't going to buy off on any of these candidates. He knew who he wanted, right? So, and I didn't want that person. So, but he said, and he looked at me and said, and he's a Frenchman. He had a thick French accent, Danielle Fevre. Okay. And he said, Russell, we're going to hire her. I said, okay. So we hired her, and I'm saying all this to say that, okay, one, you can't judge a book by its cover. He saw something that I didn't see, and then when I hired this person, I started seeing the same things that he was seeing, right? And that person to this day, now, just think, if I didn't hire that person wouldn't be this VP that she is today, right? I'm not going to say who it is because I don't want to embarrass anybody, but that person is a VP of a CVB today because what Danielle Fevre taught me about. He said, sometimes you got to give people a chance, right? This person had other hotel experience, but I'm not sure. I just, for whatever reason, you know, maybe she had a bad day and didn't present well that particular day. I don't remember what it was, but I just had a feeling that I shouldn't hire this person. And he talked me out of it, and I'm thank God that he did, because like I said, that person is now a VP of a major bureau in the United States somewhere. Okay. So thank you, Daniel Fevre. And he taught me how to be organized as a GM, because this guy was organized. You wouldn't think he would know anything because he was never in his office. He spent more time walking around, managing by walking around. And that's the thing that I love, that he did not spend too much time in behind his desk. He was saying hello to the housekeeper. I mean, people would hug him, and, you know, guests that would return, they would come and hug him. I mean, I remember him getting so mad and he would be one of the first people that be in the guest face if they were, you know, being belligerent to the front desk, which happened a lot, right? He'd be the first one coming behind the desk, being in someone's face. I remember he ran after someone. I don't know if someone had stolen something. I don't know. But he was the first one running, trying to catch these people. I said, Danny, you don't have to do all that. That's why we're here. Well, where are you? I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't, you know, there. But he was already outside trying to chase the car down. But he just taught me, manage by walking around, right? That's the best way to do it. Sitting behind your desk is not the best way to manage anything. So those are three people that were mentors to me. And that's why I try to be mentors to other people, because of Dr. Professor Glenn Voss, Mr. Joe Carrillo with Marriott. Well, let me back up. Glenn Voss, chair at Texas A&M Marketing Program or Marketing Department. Mr. Joe Carrillo, VP of Spring Hill Suites, Town Place Suites with Marriott. Ron Berger, I think he may be retired, former GM at the Marriott in Rancho Cordova, which is right outside of Sacramento. And Danielle Fev, who he's retired too. He's doing something else. But he was the GM. I think his last job, he was at the, he opened up the Aloft Hotel in Harlem, if I'm not mistaken. So those are mentors of mine. And the most important thing about these mentors that took me under the wing, none of them are Black. Okay. So it doesn't matter, right? When you see potential in people and you understand, you know, their plight, where they come from, whatever, people will do things for you, right? So they didn't judge me. They knew that I wanted to make a difference somehow in this hospitality field. And they gave me opportunity. Joe Carrillo's not white. I'm sorry. He's Latino, okay? He would be mad at me if I said that. Joe Carrillo's from Fresno, California, okay? So anyway, but the other ones aren't. But they didn't care about that, okay? They just knew a young guy wanted to learn the industry and wanted to do well and wanted to help other people out. And that's what it's all about. Being a mentor is helping people out, giving back when you can. So anyway, that's the show for today. I'm 4 minutes early. Ronan doesn't need to send a text to me and say, you know, let's wrap it up now. So, but I do appreciate you, Ronan, for doing that. But anyway, thank you so much for joining On Air with Russell Hotels. Thank you so much for listening, tuning in. You have a great week, and we'll be back next week for show number 68. And I'll tell you what tacos I'm going to have. Peace. Have a great day.
Thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. Please tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. as we talk to other hospitality professionals. Your feedback is important. Email Russell at russell@russellofhotels.com with any questions or suggestions. Until next time, try not to be a person of success, rather become a person of value.